with you. I want you to take your Bible tonight, and I want you to open to the book of Mark, chapter 11. The book of Mark, chapter number 11. Preachers, a man asked me one time how preachers get sermons. And that's a good question, how preachers get sermons. And I tried to answer him, and I said, well, there's several ways that preachers get sermons. One way is, you go somewhere and you hear somebody preach something. You think, boy, I'd like to preach on that sometime and pray about it. Hear from another preacher. Other ways, preachers have books. We have sermon outline books. And we go through those books, and sometimes an idea gets in our heart. And other times, your wife tells you what to preach on. I'm just kidding. Other times, you see a need in the church or something like that, and you think, boy, I need to preach on that. So, and you pray about it. Then there's other times, it's my favorite way. I've got sermons all in other ways. Stealing them from other preachers. Hey? One man came up to me one night and he said, I stole one of your sermons, preacher. I said, I'm honored that somebody takes one of my sermons and preach it. Really, that's a compliment. And imitation is the highest form of flattery. And I remember my favorite way to get sermons is just in my daily Bible reading this Bible. And as you're reading it, a verse of Scripture just gets a hold of your heart. Boy, that's the best way. And I enjoy it, and I like it when it comes that way. And that's the way this message come about. I want you to listen as I read Mark chapter 11. And the Bible said Jesus came into the temple here where they were worshiping, like he'd come to this service tonight. And it said this, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem. This is Mark 11:11. And into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide has come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. I was reading it, and right out of the middle of that verse jumped them little words. He looked round about upon all things. And man, when I read that, I stopped and read again. And usually I think, I've got to hurry and get my chapters read, and I've got a lot to do. I stopped and read it again. And I could just see Jesus walking into the temple that day. Back in them days, there was the altar, and they had the priest, and all. It was an Old Testament temple. It wasn't a New Testament church like we have here. And the Bible said, he looked on all things. He looked and seen everything in there. And then I thought, Lord, mercy. What if tonight? What if tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that door right over there opened and Jesus Christ walked in that door in the flesh and we all knew it was him. I mean, you can just tell it's Jesus. You know, and everybody say, now there's the Lord, man. There's the Lord. And the Lord walked in here tonight and he just started looking around on all things. He looked at how we've got it decorated. He looked at the choir. He looked at you. He looked how you're dressed. He looked how you greet people. He looked at everything you do. He said, oh, goodness. What would we do? And I want to use that as a thought tonight, and I want to preach on the subject. The title of the message tonight is, He Sees You. He sees you. You say, Lord, mercy, preacher, if Jesus is standing right there, I wouldn't be messing with my cell phone. I wouldn't be writing notes. Or I would concentrate more. I'd do that. Well, I imagine we all might do a little different. Now, the truth is tonight, he is not going to walk in that door in the flesh. I don't reckon. I hope he doesn't. I don't think he will. But the truth is, he is looking at us right now.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. The Lord is looking down and he sees everything in here tonight. Amen. Isn't that a scary thought? He's looking at you. And the bad thing is, he don't only see us, he even knows what you're thinking.
Yep.
He knows what you're thinking about me right now. So I'd watch it if I was you. He takes up for me, you know. I don't know why he does, but he takes up for me. So you better be careful. And I don't deserve it, but the Lord takes up for me lots of times. And you know what? He sees you. He sees you. Years ago, we had a big crowd in our church, and I got this boy to get a video camera. And I was trying to get people to see how they act in church. You don't believe how some people act during church. You think it's hard to sit there and listen to me or him for 45 minutes. You ought to get up here and try to look at you. I mean, some of you people are hard on the eyes. I ain't kidding. And Lord, I've had to say, I mean, they're picking boogers. And I mean, they're looking around like this. Their eyes roll back their head like a demon possessed. And messing around with the young'uns and feeding them, you know, Cheerios, hoping you won't see it. And I mean, looking at their watch. It bothers me when they look at the watch, but when they get it off and start shaking at you, that's a hint, you know, that's really a big hint. And so I got this guy, I had a video camera, Brother Scott, and I told him, I said, I want you to be hid up here, and I want you to just video some during the service. So he took about 10 or 15 minutes of video, and I come back on Sunday night and showed it. I put it up on the screen. I said, let's see how we act. I really did this. I didn't think I was going to make people mad, and people got mad. I said, okay, here y'all are. It's Sunday morning. This is you. They'd zoom in on somebody, they'd be going. My associate pastor. The associate pastor slept through the whole thing. He was going. I'm up here, I can see you. I said, look, y'all, don't get mad at me. The Lord sees you every Sunday. Every Sunday night. Every Wednesday night. He sees you right now. He sees you right now. He sees you. Oh my goodness, that's awful to think about it. Now, what if the Lord, you say, I don't believe it. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. I will say a few things this evening, and I want to say, when we come to church, what's the first thing we do? I'll say this. He sees you when you're singing. He sees you when you're singing. There's a reason that we sing when we first come to church. It's not just a tradition. But yet, the first thing you do, let's all get our hymn books and turn to number, and you know, we start saying, why do we do that? You say, oh, it's just an old tradition. No, there's a reason for that. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs brings in the Spirit and the presence of the Lord. The Bible said God inhabits the praise of His people. So when we start singing them songs, I mean, you can come in here and your mind be on 100 different things, and you start singing, when I come in tonight and they was playing, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Boy, it made just a warm feeling come over my soul. And then when y'all sing, I love that song. I hadn't heard that in years, and I appreciate y'all singing that. I'm glad it wasn't a 7-Eleven song y'all sung. You know, where they got 7 words and you sing them 11 times. And it's hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 10 minutes of that gets boring. I'm glad you sang, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. You know why we do that? To get God's presence. The Bible said God inhabits the praise of His people. And just like, you know, when I preach on that rock music, then people start that jungle funk, you know, and it's going, the devil shows up. That's why you get demons in you. And you get devils in you like that. If you don't believe it, when that stuff starts, that crowd goes wild. And I'm going to tell you tonight, when we start singing, the Lord's presence comes in and gets it up. And you know what? I think some people think them first 2 songs is a time that you're supposed to get caught up on your fellowship and adjusting things or looking around. And they think the service don't actually start till the pastor gets up. No, 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 no. Everybody in here. We got people in our church that we say, let's all stand and sing. And they do this the whole time we're singing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I say, everybody sing. Everybody sing. I told Logan, I said, why don't you ever sing? He said, I can't sing, preacher. The Lord didn't say just gifted people. The Lord didn't say just talented people. He wants everybody in here saying, this ain't a spiritual Baptist American idol, brother. They are in here to worship God. We're not in here to show off talent. We're in here to sing them psalms and hymns. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Get up and open your mouth. And when they say open your hymn book, it'll drive a devil out of here. If everybody in here will sing, he sees you when you're singing. You're going to give an account one day to God for every time you stood back there and just talked while we was trying to have a song in the house of God. I know people, when you stand to sing, just as I am for the invitation, they start snapping pocketbooks and putting coats on kids, and they want to be, they want to beat the Methodist to the steakhouse, so they want to take off out the door right when you're trying to sing and get people to God. I'm going to tell you tonight, the Lord sees you when we're singing. You open that hymn book like you got good sense and say every word of them song. Them songs, God gave them to us. Them songs are blessed and used of God, and it gets our heart ready for the preaching. Yeah. There's nothing in the world that'll prepare your heart for the Word of God like good old-fashioned gospel singing, where we all sing. And I'll tell you something else, brother. There's power in unity. You get a bunch of people singing the same thing, brother. I mean, there's a force there. It's like an army. There's something about congregational singing. You know what? One of the tricks the devil's pulling on our churches, these contemporary churches, these no-name brands. Amen. Yeah, I was singing one the other day, it was Crosslink, and then I was singing another note, and it was Crossing, and another one, it was, Lord, I don't know, and how would you even know that's church? It don't have no name on it. One guy said, well, we dropped the name Baptist because we don't want to be offensive to anybody. You're a no-name brand, that means you don't know what you are, or if you do know what you are, you're ashamed of it. Is that what that means? You got to be something. Lord, I'd hate to go to the grocery store and there'd be no labels on nothing. There's just a bunch of cans. I want some chicken noodle soup. It might be dog food. Amen? It ain't got no label on it. It don't tell you. Oh, we don't want to offend nobody. Offend me, brother. Put it on there. I mean, put it on there. Is it Ajax? Is it Clorox? Either is it noodle soup? I want to know. And when I go to church, I want to know who I'm with. I want to know where we stand. I want to know what we believe. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. He sees you when you're singing. That's right. Congregational singing ought to be loud. It ought to be traditional hymns. It ought to be spiritual song. It ought to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This ain't dance music. It's hymns, psalms, and spiritual, not fleshly music.
Right.
Say amen right
there. Amen.
I was preaching a meeting here a few weeks ago, and a singing group got up, and they sung one song that was real good. I actually got a blessing out of it. And then they said, all right, hit the next one. And somebody punched the button, and Lord have mercy. I mean, the most ridiculous music. Sounded like a mix between old rock and some kind of old wicked music and country. And the Spirit of God went right out of it. Everybody just sat there. When will this be over with? The other song, people raise their hands saying amen. You'd think people could tell the difference, couldn't you? Wouldn't you think anybody with a brain could tell the difference? But he sees us when we sing. Number two. Well, I got for an outline. He sees you when you're snoring. Is that homiletical enough for you?
Yeah.
That's pretty educated. I said he sees you when you're snoring. You ever met these people thinks it's a sin to laugh at church?
Amen.
We'll say something like, oh, I don't believe in all that cutting up life. You don't believe sin is sweet, you hypocrite. them same people that don't believe we're supposed to laugh and have a good time in the Lord will sit there and saw logs about half of the service. I used to have this guy in church. He sat right there. He sat right in the middle, about where that young man is right there. And every Sunday when I'd start preaching, he would just start nodding off, and his eyes would just go back. He'd sit there like that the whole time. And it aggravated the fire out of me. And I used to say, and the devil would get on me and say, boy, it sure is boring preaching. It sure is, okay, you're putting them to sleep. And I got to where I'd look here this way, and people all looked, and I'd look around, and I'd just skip over him. And I'd skip over and look back at him. And then finally I'd look at him, he'd be asleep, and I'd want to just run back there and smack his jaws. I'm going to tell you, brother, he sees you. Can you imagine going to the Miley Cyrus concert, and there's, 20,000 people screaming, jumping up and down, and the camera swinging around there, and there the guy's in there. I bet you don't see that, do you? They don't sleep at them things. They don't sleep at them. As a matter of fact, they don't even sit down. They get right here. They don't get in the back seat just as far as they can away. Nothing personal, but they don't, y'all. You ain't seen the Bobcats play and got to see them, Kobe Bryant and all them. You wouldn't go up in the nosebleed section and say, this is where I want to sit. You won't get down there just as close. Them rock concerts, Brother Scott, they push themselves up here. They have to have guards here to keep people from charging the stage. And here we are to have a God. I mean, the name's in God's book. We're not going to burn in hell. We're saved by the grace of God. Got the Holy Ghost in us. And we're asleep the whole time we're here. It sees you when you snore. That old man, he went to sleep, slept to have service. And finally, the preacher got that little old boy, and he said, now listen. He said, you keep Papa awake. And he said, I'm going to give you a dime every Sunday if you'll keep Papa awake. So that little boy, he sat beside Papa, and he reached over and pulled the hairs on his legs. Or he'd punch him or something like that, And he done pretty good 2 or 3 Sundays, huh? And finally, Papa was sleeping again. And the preacher called him over and said, now listen, you ain't going to get your dime no more. You ain't been keeping Papa awake. He said, Papa, give me 15 cents to let him sleep. He sees you when you're snoring. They preachers don't talk in their sleep. They talk in other people's sleep. I heard a church had to start serving coffee after service, brother. I mean, some people get woke up enough they can drive home. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord sees you when you're snoring. The classic story, I might have told you that before, but I never can get that out of my mind. It was old J. Harold Smith. Yeah. Years ago, had that woman in his church, and he had an old deacon. And this old deacon slept every service. I mean, his name is John. And Orpha, his wife, bless her heart, they had pews right in the middle, so they would sit right in front of him like this. And he said, every blessed Sunday, when he gets started preaching, John, he said, you preacher gets first gear, second gear, third gear, and then we finally get up there and that hum, and stay that way the rest of the time. And he said, old John, he would just sort of nod off this way and nod off that way. Out. He was out like that. The whole time. And I mean, he would make noises and jerk and everything, just embarrassed his poor wife to death. And said, she come to preach. She said, preacher, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. Said, John, he's embarrassed me to death. And he just kidding around. And he said, I'll tell you what, sister. He said, you go down to the grocery store and buy you a big old chunk of that Limburger cheese. And he said, it kind of stinks real bad. And he said, you save it. And Sunday morning, whenever he starts that, you just get it out and wave it a time or two. Right in front of his mother. Well, he's just kidding. And Orpha did that. She goes down to the grocery store, buys a big old chunk of that stuff about that big, wrapped it up in tinfoil, puts it in her pocketbook, and keeps it all week. And I mean, that stuff would knock a dog down. I mean, and boy, she said Sunday morning, got there, and old preacher J. L. Smith read the scripture, and he started his sermon. About 10 minutes into the sermon, here old John went, just like I was. He nodded out. He was out. Out. He was out. Saw in love. Didn't even know where he was. He saw it. She started digging in her pocketbook. He reached in there. He's like, oh, Lord, what's she doing? And he said, "I'm preaching, I can't stop." She pulled out that big old chunk of that stuff and unwrapped it. And old John, boy, he's back there like that. He's in another world, boy. And she waved in front of his mouth like that. And she went by the other way. She come back this way and wrote it like that. And he screamed out right in front in the whole church. He said, "Arba! I turn around, the feet's in my face." He had no clue where he was. Man, he was really into that worship, wasn't he? Wasn't he into that worship service? Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I say he sees you when you're snoring. Isn't that pitiful? Isn't that pitiful? That the world, people's crazy out there over their God, and we come to the house of God, is a good time to get caught up on our sleep. I said he sees you when you snore. Pay attention. Follow along with the scripture.
Right. Amen.
Open your Bible. When the preacher says open your Bible, open it and read along with it. Yeah. Get everything you can get. You're going to need it.
Amen.
You're going to need it.
Amen.
When that man of God stands up here on Sunday, he said, "Open your Bible," or whatever. Open them.
That's right. Amen.
I said a Bible, not a cell phone.
Yeah, the
man told me, he said, "Preacher, I don't even have to bring my Bible no more. I got the scripture right here." I said, "God, get your Bible like you got good sense."
Amen.
You can't take that cell phone and hold your hand in one place and flip over here and hold another one and compare scripture to scripture like we can with the Bible. I guarantee you.
Amen. Yep.
Preach.
Oh yeah, I can get inside and quit playing. You just like to play. You be checking the baseball score and the weather while the service is going on too.
Preach.
Killed and tired, didn't it? Bring your Bible to the house of God. You not leave that, you're that much addicted that you can't leave that thing alone for 2 hours. You say, "Well, I might get a text." You get the text. I'm giving you a text right now. And listen, and the text I gave you tonight is way more important than whatever you might have on that cell phone. You're an addict. You can't leave it alone for 2 hours. You need help, counseling, something.
Are you?
Amen. That's right. All your cell phone apps need to check in that thing and get in on it. Number three, hold your seats, it's going to get worse. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. You say, "I don't believe the Lord give you that message." Well, you just have to believe that. I don't know what to tell you. I said he sees you when you're snoring. Number three, he sees you when you're stealing. He sees you when you're stealing. Amen?
Amen.
You say, "That's a little strong language. I know you're talking about giving it." Yeah, I am. And you say, "That's strong language." No, it ain't scriptural language. He said, "You have robbed me."
Yeah.
You have robbed. Will a man rob God? He said, "You robbed me in tithe and in offering." Let me just clear up a little something right here. That Bible mentions tithing before the law.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, that's only under the law." You're showing how ignorant you are of the Bible. That people tithe. Abraham tithed before Moses was born.
Amen.
Who wrote the law of God. Abraham paid tithes, and them guys paid tithes to Melchizedek, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they gave a tenth. The word tithe means tenth.
Yes, sir.
One tenth. And they said, "One tenth of everything you got belongs to God." One man told me, he said, "Well, that could just mean your time, or it might mean your potato." No, it means your money. It means your money.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Years ago, people, they got paid with potatoes and stuff. That is different. You get paid money now, and it means your money, you crook. I'm going to tell you something, brother. You're stealing from God, really, people. I mean, good night. I mean, a man shouldn't have to. You know, I was out in Montana, and I was preaching out there, and the preacher took me out there, and there's this big old pasture, and there's a bunch of sheep out there. And he said, "See them sheep, Brother Daniel?" I said, "Yeah, man, them things. That is amazing, really, because God compares us to the sheep. There's a reason God compares us to sheep. Sheep are like the dumbest animal there is. For their size. They really are. They're stupid. And God, that's why God, he compares us to sheep. And he said, they shear them ever so often. I don't know how, every, once a year, twice a year or something. And they said, them sheep produce wool. And if a, he said, if a sheep weighs 80 pounds, it'll give 8 pounds of wool. He said, if it weighs 100 pounds, it'll give a 10 pound wool. One tenth. I said, you're kidding, Bob. He said, no. He said, no, a sheep gives 10% back to its owner that blessed it with that 90% and taken care of it. Man, I about shouted. I said, that's like God looks at us, his sheep. 10% ain't much. You brat, you get to keep 90% of your money and your griping. Our brothers and sisters in other countries are getting their heads cut off. They don't even have a place to worship. They don't even have a food to eat, many of them. They're starving to death. Ain't nobody in here starving to death. Not even close. You people ain't starving. Lord have mercy. You need a Richard Simmons video. Seize them when they're stealing. Oh, preacher, they're tied in a bark on a tree, preacher. One guy, preacher got a pissed off and he said, we're going to take up the money and give to the family, needy family down the road. And this old guy said, dying thief didn't give no money to the needy family down the road. He went to heaven. Well, next week they said, we're going to take up an offering to help this missionary get up here wherever he's going. He said, dying thief didn't give no money to a missionary. And he went to heaven. Next week they said, we're going to take up an offering. That boy will work on a Sunday school. He said, dying faith didn't give no money, no Sunday school class. And he went finally, somebody said, man, you know the only difference between you and a dying thief? You a dying thief, and he was a dying thief, and you're a living one. I mean, of all the people in the Bible to pick out as your hero, can you not find somebody? Is a dying thief the best person you can find to live your life after? I mean, he barely got saved the last minute of his life, and he's your example of who you want to follow. I want to be like the dying thief. Well, you're not. Listen, brother. I mean, surely you can make do better than a dying thief. I'm telling you tonight, the Lord said, listen, that offering plate comes around on Sunday morning. Brother, if I made $500 this week, my $50 and more, my offering, goes in that plate right there. My tithe don't go to a TV preacher. My tithe don't go to a missionary. My tithe goes to Shining Light Baptist Church that I'm a member of. That's where you get your food. That's who does your funerals. That's who does y'all's weddings. That's in your church, your pastor, your... Put it right here. If you want to give something to a missionary or TV preacher, give it out of your own money. I said, well, I just took my tithes and I gave it to a widow woman down here. No, you stole it from God and then wanted to glory for it and make her think it was you giving it to her.
Amen. Amen.
He sees you when you're stealing. He said, that's pretty strong, preacher. If you made $500 last week and you didn't put it in there, you stole it. And you liked it a minute ago. What's wrong with you now?
You tell the truth.
So I can't fault that preacher. That's a lot of money. That's why you can't never get nowhere. If you start giving God what's his first, you'd be surprised what the Lord can do with that other night. He can make a roof on your house last longer.
That's right.
He can make your car get better mileage.
Hey,
I'm telling you, the Lord, I've been doing it ever since I got saved, and I ain't never missed a meal unless I was fasting and done it on purpose.
That's right.
God took care of me and my family, my three daughters back there at home tonight. God took care of us every step of the way. He sees you when you steal it. Lord, I know some Christians, they sing through their nose, keep them wearing their false teeth out. That's how I tell them. You're about that old church? This old, I like where them old time black preachers preach. This old black preacher got up one morning, boy, they interact, you know. And I mean, they're getting with it. And he got up and he said, Brethren! He said, it's time for the church to walk. Buddy, when he said that congregation said, yeah. And the old deacon jumped up and he said, yeah, let the church walk. And Boy, he jumped up there in his other gear. He got a little high and he said, Reverend! He said, it's time for the church to rock! He said, that old deacon jumped up down there again. He jumped up and he said, yeah, it's time for the church to run. He jumped up there and he got into another third gear. He got a little bit high. He said, Brethren! He said, it's time for the church to fly. And the old deacon jumped up again. He said, yeah, preacher, that's right. Let the church fly. And boy, he got up and he said, now, brethren, he said, it cost a lot of money for the church to fly. We can have to look. And the old deacon jumped up and he said, yeah, let the church walk. Say amen right there. Ain't that the way people are? Everybody wants the church to fly. They don't want to give no money for it. It costs money to fly. Flying's expensive.
Amen.
Hey, you want the church to do great, but you want to steal the money out of it.
That's right.
You want souls to be saved, but want to rob God. And he sees you when you steal it. I have a church down in South Carolina where they take up the offering. And it's a big church. It's honest truth, a big Baptist church. And they got to noticing that for some reason their offering was down. And they hadn't lost nobody or nothing. I mean, it's down a lot. And they said, something's going on. So finally they said, we're just going to have to. They put security cameras in the hall, the restroom, and everywhere. Sure enough, one of the ushers, every Sunday, after he'd take it off, they'd go back to that little room where they'd count the money, and he'd make a stop by the restroom. And they got him this stuff in his pockets every Sunday. Make cold chills come on the other thing. Oh, Lord, how could you sit there with your 50 in your pocket every Sunday when the plate goes by? You're doing the same thing he did.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow. That's right.
Boy, I killed it. He sees you when you steal it. Let me say, fourthly tonight, I'll move on. We got to cut just one more and I'm done. He sees you when you're sinning. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He sees you when you're sinning. Remember that story of Eli over there in the Old Testament? And Eli, right there at the temple, and his sons sinning right there at the house of God. You say, preacher, people sin at church? Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if people come to church with other motives. Don't even come to worship.
Right.
Lord, I can't believe. We used to have every time when he'd get to election time, we'd have his politicians show up at church. And I mean, I made them welcome and everything, but I ain't going to get up there and make no big deal out of them being there. They ain't no more important than a little snotty-nosed bus kid.
Amen.
I didn't even mention them. I wasn't going to, listen, brother, that crowd didn't come to worship God. They come to get votes.
Amen.
A guy come in one time, Sunday morning, and I'd seen this man years. He come in and he got about the middle of the church on this, that side right over there, and I know he was looking around like that and everything. And somebody come up and they said, did you see so-and-so here? I said, yeah. What in the world was he doing here? A lot of him and his wife separated. He's down here looking for him. A girlfriend, somebody to date. And I thought, are you that bad off? Are you that desperate? He was looking at every woman to see she had a ring on her finger. Ain't none of y'all ever done that, have you? Not in church. No! No! How could you? He sees you. I was preaching a tent revival in South Carolina. And it was packed, jam full. And this fellow come up in the back, had a nice suit, tie, and he was looking around like this. And I thought he was just looking for a seat. And when we got through, the pastor took me out to eat, and he said, did you see that spy? Is there not? I said, there was a spy there? He said, yeah, spy. I said, why? What, from who? He said, there's a church up the road here that really isn't an independent Baptist church, and they must not like me. And he said, the pastor sent him down here. They said, if any of their members was down here, come to hear you preach, they're going to church on Sunday morning. Kick them out.
come and tell me about it. I said, Lord, mercy. Am I that bad? Well, they got a movie? What, am I worse than a movie? It's worse than going to the movies? I tell you, he sees that kind of junk. He sees the business meeting. He sees us when we're sinning. I heard a preacher snap at his wife one night at church and bit her head off. I mean, literally smarted off to his own right there in the house of God. I felt sorry for the lady. He just heard and she just sort of held her head down. He talks to me, hateful to her. And I thought, you know what, honey? The Lord said, we get up here and act all spiritual. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody. I'm telling you, he sees you. Amen. Sees you when you walk in that door. Sees you when you're sinning. Sees you when you're out there partying, young people. He sees you when you sing in the choir and sing praise the Lord and then go up the next day and live against everything you sang here in this choir.
Amen.
He sees you if you're shacking up. He sees you if you're smoking that weed. He sees you drinking that liquor, that beer. Lady sent me a text. Supposed to be a strong Christian lady. Sent me a text yesterday. And she said, pray for me. I'm losing that. I'm temptation to get drunk. And I said, no, mammy, are you crazy? The Bible said don't look at that stuff. Don't look at it. You ain't got no friend in alcohol, people. Right. Alcohol's your enemy.
Amen.
It's the devil in liquid form.
Right.
You can't handle it. You ain't got no special deal worked out with you and God. But now I got it. It's bad for you. See you when you see it. I'm going to say this and I'm through. He sees you when you're sorrowing. Thank God. Thank God. He said godly sorrow worketh repentance. When you're brokenhearted, he sees your tears. When I was 18 years old, I went to the altar. And I bawled my eyes out for 30 minutes. And there's people around praying. The altar was full from one side of that church to the other. Great revival. I had no idea what I was in. Great revival broke out. They say a revival hits a community like that about once every 40-something years. I don't know, 15 preachers probably come out of that meeting. Over 100 young people saved. Went on 2 weeks. And I laid down on the floor and I cried and prayed. And out of all the people in the world, the eyes of the Lord in every place, behold the good and evil, the Lord saw me. Also, you know, sometimes we overemphasize that God sees you doing it. He sees you out there in the back. See that car? Sometimes we emphasize that. But guess what? When you kids get up here and you say, God, I'm sorry, Lord, he sees you then too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you say, well, I went to the altar. I just don't feel like it down there. Thank God he saw you. If you hit this altar and you said, God, forgive me, he saw you. He forgave it. He gave you a clean slate. You can walk out of here tonight washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Get out of your seat and come. He sees you when you're sorrowful. I love that story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. Boy, I tell you, he went out and wasted his substance riotously. And he went out and lived like a devil. And he partied. He done whatever they done that damn time. He lived it up. He listened to bad music. He messed, partied. He got drunk. He done everything in the world. One day he came up out of that hog pen and he said, I will arise and go to my father. Well, you know what that Bible said? The Bible said the father over here said he seeth him. He saw him afar off. He saw him afar off. I mean, the father was up there looking for him. The father saw him and said, there he comes, there he comes. The devil probably said, your daddy ain't going to see you. Your daddy ain't going to mess with you. Your daddy don't want nothing to do with you. But the Bible said that father saw him. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, the eyes of the Lord are looking down here tonight. And if you'll get on this altar tonight and confess what you've done, he sees you. He's up there waiting right now, saying, come, 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 get it right. If you need to get your heart right on your money matter, get it right. If you need to get your heart right on your relationship, get it right. If you need your heart right on your pastimes, get it right. You come to this altar tonight, and you get down, and you mean it, and pray. Thank God he sees you.
Amen.
When you're sorrowing, I guess you're like me. We've all God, forgive me. And before you get up, the devil said, God didn't hear you. God ain't listening to you. You're not sorry enough. That's not real godly sorry. You didn't really repent. You know, listen, brother, if you know it in your heart and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm glad to report to you tonight, kids, He'll see you. He'll see you. He'll help you. You believe He sees you when you're out there doing something wrong? Well, He sees you when you're up here doing something right, too.
Amen.
He sees you. Bible said He come in that night or that day and He looked around upon all things. That means if the Lord looks at our giving, and the Lord looks at our singing, and the Lord looks at our fellowship, and the Lord looks at our singing, He looks at us when we're in this altar. Crying out. And the Bible said a broken and contrite heart, oh God, He will not despise. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know what you've done, and I don't care. I don't want to know. None of my business. If you'll get out of your seat, get down here and say, God, I am sorry. God, I know I've done wrong. God, by your grace, if you'll help me, I'm willing to turn from that. I'm telling you, God in heaven will see you. And He'll make things right.
Amen.
He sees you. He's looking at us right now. I want us to do business with Him. Let's do business with the Lord. Let's don't just come and say, oh, well, we had a good time tonight. Let's do business with Him. Let's make up our mind. I'm going to get completely right. Whatever that little thing is you're holding on to, it ain't worth what it's costing you. That little sin. Whatever that relationship, or maybe you're mad at somebody and you need to come to the altar and say, God, help me. Get it right. You'll see. Let's stand by our heads and pray. They're going to get a song.